Capital call this morning. We have Representative Chairman Earl Sears. We have Representative Travis Dunlap. And last but not least, Senator John Ford in the studios this morning. And good morning. Hello. How are you?
We are doing quite well. And I know we had our first show last Friday and we told everybody the journey we were getting ready to take. Well, it started. it's been a fast and furious first week. At least mine went very quickly, and I'm sure the others as well, but they'll have their comments. But it's always an interesting week because you start the first of the session off with the state of the state, and quite frankly, it is a very beautiful moment, a moving moment, just a substantial moment in regards to your governor and all those that help run state government. I mean, the Supreme Court, all the cabinet secretaries. I mean, it's a big deal. And I know a lot of you read it in the paper, and you probably saw a lot of it on TV. I know OETA recorded it. But anyway, the governor was there, and I thought she did a good job of stating the journey that we all had to take. The downturn in the energy sector is hurting our budget, plus other things that we're having to deal with. And that's going to be the number one priority. There's still several bills of major legislation that we'll have to address in education and just good policy. But there is no question the overriding issue at the state capitol, your state capitol this year, is the state budget. And I'll just very quickly tell you, after 1 week, I can tell you on today's radio show, we do not have it balanced yet, but at least we've started the journey and having great conversation in regards to how we're going to approach that. It is a challenging time there, but on the same token, all of us working together, all of us, meaning the governor and the Senate and the House, we do have some good approaches, good plans. Trust me, not everybody will be happy with some of the approaches. For an example, there is a proposal on the table to put a $1.50 sales tax on cigarettes, add to that tax, or what we call a cigarette tax. Mm-hmm. There is no question there's people that don't want to hear about that. But on the same token, there are people that think it's the right thing to do. So the point is, that one and many others proposals were there to help us with this budget. There's no way I can capture all of it in this radio show today. But what I want to convey today is that we are meeting, great conversations. People are focused on not only developing the budget, but at the same time that we don't tear up programs with too deep cuts. But there's just a lot of things that we're going to have to do. And Senator Ford, in a meeting about 30 minutes ago or an hour ago, quite frankly said, you know, this is a year everybody's going to be mad at everybody. And I don't question that at all.
And Senator Ford is going to be leaving he's in your final year, correct?
This is my final year. I have...
So you get to make everybody mad.
That's right. I get to call and complain. I had the opportunity, the privilege of attending my last State of the State address. Mm-hmm. Also, I had the privilege of being one of the senators and some House members that escorted the governor into the chamber. Mm-hmm. It's kind of neat to have that opportunity. Listen to the things that she talked about, and Representative Sears talked about the budget and the difficulty we're going to have. And, you know, it's a lot like a family, and say both members of the family work and one loses a job. So all of a sudden their world has changed. You
right.
have less income. You still have the same expenses. And to a degree, the legislature is like that. We are just a much larger family. Probably much more dysfunctional, but we have the same situations. We all have the same hopes and desires for the state of Oklahoma and for our constituents. We want to do what's right. There are just a lot of different options, say in this small, real family, what they can do. They can cut some spending. They can dip into some of their savings. They can maybe borrow. Lots of options, but before you do anything, a husband and a wife sit down, and maybe the children if they're living at home, and really talk about what are our priorities. This is how much money we think we have coming in. I think I'm going to get another job, hopefully in a month or a week.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're hoping
right.
the price of crude goes up, which gives us more severance, which mm-hmm. gives a lot of our citizens the job that maybe they were laid off from.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, that citizen starts paying income tax and sales tax. But you have to have this process of discussing and looking at all of the alternatives. And that's what we're doing in the House and the Senate and with the governor's office led by Chairman Sears and Senator Jolly in the Senate. Those discussions are good. You're going to hear a lot of things you really dislike. You're going to hear a lot of things you like, because we're trying to throw everything out on the table. But at the end of the session, I truly believe that we're going to come up with some thoughtful, good, maybe some short-term, some long-term solutions to help us get through where we are today, but also to position us in a better position as Oklahoma moves forward next years and decades.
All right, and we were talking right before you guys came in and did the doggone report so excellently. anyways, you were talking about a bill having to do with pre-K funding, and you said you weren't going to hear it.
Yes,
so
it's
tell me about that.
One of the either opportunities, privileges, or burdens that a chair of a committee has in the Senate is we have the decision on what bills to hear and what bills not to hear. Senator Treat from the Oklahoma City area, he's concerned about the lack of funding for common education. So he was looking at, and there are some reports that pre-K maybe doesn't provide as much value as others believe, so he filed a bill that said we would no longer fund pre-K. Now, most other states do not have pre-K. Oklahoma is considered a leader in early childhood education. Okay. I think it's a very good program. So Oklahoma has strategically decided we're going to take our education dollars and spread over 14 years of education. That's pre-K through 12.
Right.
Most other states spread their education dollars over 13 years of education, kindergarten through 12. So if we did not have pre-K, we would have about 7% more money to spend on the rest of it. So that would be a 7% pay increase, 7% more for the classroom.
Uh-huh.
But as I say, Oklahoma has made the strategic decision. We think that is a good investment in early childhood education. I strongly support that position. Senator Treat and I had a very good intellectual discussion day before yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that I support it, so I'm not going to hear that bill this year. But he and I talked, and I think it's very critical that we always have open and honest discussions. So I have agreed to chair an interim study this summer where we would really look at the benefits and see if we're doing pre-K the right way.
Okay.
So hopefully this is a win-win situation for those that support pre-K. Certainly we need to continue seeing some success stories for those that have some concerns, hear that side. And at the end of the day, I think pre-K is going to consider being funded. I think it's a wonderful program.
Okay, all right, good
but
deal.
But that's truly how the system should work, and
yeah,
I appreciate Senator Treat and the open and honest discussion.
All right, and now we'll hear from, it's your turn, Representative Dunlap.
Well, thank you, Diane. It's a pleasure to be here today, and thanks to the sponsors of the show and those who listen every week and keep us accountable to what we're doing there at the State Capitol, but also follow and spread the information around to neighbors and peers and church members and all those with whom we are in community. This week has been a week of evaluation, and so evaluation on many different levels. Of course, the state of the state is, as it says, the governor reporting on what she sees the state of the state is. And so there are some dire situations, but there are also some good stories to tell in the midst of that. So the proposals that have been put on the table by the governor, half of them are probably going to be pretty easy to find a lot of agreement on. The other half of them are probably going to be really challenging to find a lot of agreement on. And so I, for one, was very excited about some of the things she mentioned, and then this other thing she mentioned, and I had to process it a little bit before I could sign on. This week, we've been participating through our subcommittees in the appropriation and budget process in budget hearings. And so this week, a significant thing that I was participating in was the budget hearing through the Human Subservices Committee in the House, which we oversee six different agencies and their budget requests, the two largest of which are the Department of Human Services and the Office of Juvenile Affairs. And so I just wanted to report there are some difficulties in those agencies. We got to hear the reports and the requests, but there are some bright spots. And one of the bright spots I heard about this week, I was very encouraged by, was the authorization that we gave to the Department of Education to charter schools through their office. And one of the schools that was chartered was able to be chartered in time to, for this school year, because the bill was passed with an emergency on it. Mm-hmm. And it's a charter school within the detention center for the juvenile offenders in Oklahoma City. And we heard a report from that school that was just glowing. It was a tremendous report about the success of that school and the optimism they have, the number of GEDs and high school diplomas that have already been earned. And we're really looking for much more fruit from opportunities like that for education. I think that in the midst of some of these bad reports and doomsday scenarios that we're considering, it's nice to see a bright spot like that. And so that was a significant thing to hear about this week in the budget hearing process. And hopefully we'll be able to continue opportunities like that, provide the choices and options to get people on their feet again.
Okay. And as Senator Ford is finishing up his term limited, you're in your second year.
Yes, ma'am.
And what do you think?
Well, I've had the privilege of serving in the midst of 2 years where we've had budget shortfalls.
Uh-huh.
And so they
you're learning
the
fast.
The other two members in this report this morning have been able to serve in years when we've had revenues in abundance of what the needs and the requests were. And so in some ways, having budget shortfalls makes the process more streamlined and a bit quicker, because a lot of the things and proposals that are on the table, since they have the weight of that the stress of the stretched dollars, are tempered and are able to be quickly dismissed if they need to be. So in some ways, the budget shortfall makes the process we go through a little bit easier. So that may or may not be a good thing in the eyes of the constituents. I don't know, but I will tell you, I'm able to take on a few things, which is a privilege to be able to do. And this year I have taken on a couple bills, so I will update about the bill that the newspaper reported on earlier this month. We have already created a committee substitute, which was that what that means is there's a little bit of confusion in the language of the bill that I was taking around and showing the representatives this week. And so we've already created a committee substitute that will be filed today, and it will be available for the public to read on the Oklahoma House website early next week.
Okay.
And so we're working on that. I'm taking it around to the members of the House trying to sell it. But I think that what we're trying to do, and the subject is on expungements, I think the heart behind the bill is to allow people to get back into productive citizenry,
right?
Get back into jobs, get the promotions that they want. And I think that we'll be able to do that this year. I think it's in line with what the governor wants to do in helping Oklahoma citizens get back on the path of productive citizenship. And I'm looking forward to working with the other House members and getting that through all the way to the governor's desk.
All right. And we're getting close to the end. Anybody want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'll just
really quick thing, Representative Dunlap. I never want to correct you, but I guarantee you there is not enough money in the world to handle everybody's request.
You'll find out.
I guess I'll close it with simply saying, again, the first week we got through it, and we're going to get through all of them. But along the way, if you have a question or concern about your state government, do not hesitate to call any one of the three of us. Communicate with us. We do represent you, and we understand that, and we want to do that. But on the same token, we don't know what your thoughts are if you don't communicate with us. So feel free to do so. And we want to say thank you to Phillips 66 for sponsoring our radio show, and we'll see you next Friday.
All right. And if they want to get in contact with you, any contact information is on the OK Legislature.
Yeah, all of our contact information is there. Our phone numbers, our office numbers, everything there is transparent in how to communicate with us.
All right. Good deal. Thank you, sir. And that's Capital Call for today, brought to you by Phillips 66.
At Phillips 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline.